Hello, class. So in Revelations 6:1, first seal, it says, I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he who had on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So this is not immediately apparent what this one represents, but if we read, we'll see that he will conquer the earth. And he's riding on a white horse. And if we go to Revelations 19:11, we see that Christ also comes on a white horse. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who had sat on it called faithful and true and righteous. And in righteousness he thus judged the world and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. So we see that Christ will be returning on a white horse. This is not Christ returning. So it would be a counterfeit of Christ. And we can see from other places in the scriptures that there will be counterfeit Christ coming in the end time. In Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said, and answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. And when in verse 11 it says, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And in verse 23 to 25, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even elect. Behold, I have told you before. So we see that Christ is telling there will be false prophets and people coming in the name of Christ. So we would say the white horse would be a false religion, or someone putting themselves in the place of Christ, seeming to be Christ. So it'd be false religion. And one more in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So it would seem that it would be another scripture pointing toward the end, and false religion, the end time, false leader. So that's what we have on. Oh, also Zechariah 6:1-8 also mentions four horses, though they are in a different order.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll just let you come sit down. Anybody have any questions for him?
Oh, it's, well, first we have a Revelation 6, 1 and 2, which is where we read this in the first place. And then Revelations 19, verses 11 and 12 is talking about Christ returning on a white horse. And then we have Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, and verse 11 and 24, and verse 23 to 25, and that's Christ warning them about false teachers and the false people saying that they're Christ and not. And then we have 2 Thessalonians 2:8 saying that in the end time there'll be another, the lawless one will be revealed. So, and then, like I said, Zechariah 6, verse 1 through 8 is just another place where they mention the four horsemen. So is that good?
Okay, good job. Good job. Very good scriptures that you gave. I appreciate it. I'll talk a little more about it, but I don't want to give everybody else a clue. good job of presentation. All right, Chris.
Revelation chapter 6 and verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So following the first white horse, which is false religion, false ideology, from the very beginning in Genesis 3, our parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed. And following that in Genesis 4, Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy, did not really adopt God's ways. This is part of our human nature from the beginning. But at the opening of the seal, there's going to be an intensification. This war, this violent, murderous nature is going to intensify. Proverbs 6, verse 16, It's one of the seven abominations to God. He hates feet that are, or hands that are swift to shed blood. So people that love to shed blood, that's an abomination to God. The sword is a symbol of God's punishment in Psalms 7, chapter 7, verse 10. That could be directly, so it means God himself or an angel could actually, or one of God's agents could kill, or it could simply mean he's allowing an evil spirit. He's allowing this zeitgeist where people are going to intensify in hatred and the lust to kill one another. The red horse, red is, of course, the color of blood. It's a symbol of the planet Mars. I don't know why they didn't say the cherry red planet, but Susie, it's the god of war, the blood red planet. And at the time that John wrote this, there was also the memory of the Olivet Prophecy, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, that hating your brother is equivalent to murder. And if it doesn't stop, it can and possibly will lead to murder. In Matthew 24, verses 20 and 21, the Olivet Prophecy, he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom will rise against kingdom. So how it affects the earth is this war is going to intensify. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, this is like the opposite of Isaiah 2. Here they're beating their plowshares in the sword. So everybody gets in on the game. Weak guys, people who've never practiced war before, they start getting, I'm going to get in on this. I hate, you know, the false ideology. And if you don't think like I do, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill you. How does this affect the church and Israel? So physical Israel and, of course, spiritual Israel. There will be intensification of betrayal. Matthew 10, 21, we read how families, fathers, brothers will betray one another, betray us. Intense persecution of the church in Revelation 13. I'm sorry, I forgot to include any verses about Israel, physical Israel, that the Old Testament talks about the persecution of Joel, time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel 7 and Daniel 11, at again, the time of this writing, the fourth beast of Daniel, Rome, was in power. And there was a Pax Romana, but then as time went on, the Roman emperor started getting increasingly jealous of Christians and the physical Israel. Jerusalem was sacked in 70 AD. Crusades followed that. So medieval times, you had swords. Napoleonic times, firearms were invented somewhere around the 1400s, but Napoleon, he started taking sausage makers, farmers, whatever. Okay, now you're a soldier. You got a gun in your hand, so now the intense firepower to kill. World War I, World War II, automatic machine gun weapons, airplanes, flight. In our modern times, we have nuclear, chemical, biological weapons, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. So we have the potential to have great destruction. It'll wax and wane with time, but up until the time of Christ, it's just going to keep intensifying and intensifying.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Good presentation. Let's go to number three, third seal. Seal team three. Roger's going to do this one. For Chelsea's group, right?
Yeah.
You can give me a list of...
All right. So this one's fairly straightforward, very easy to explain. First off, looking at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm or touch the oil and the wine." So we see here in verse 6, it talks about a denarius. If we look at Matthew 20, we see the parable of the workers in the vineyard, showing that a denarius is most likely just a day's wage. Obviously, with this, there's going to be a government intervention, inflation, and they're going to be keeping the luxury items away while rationing out the more common items like barley, wheat, bread, food, just the general things to stay sustained, along with oil and wine now being basically currency. So if we look in Second Kings chapter 4, and looking at verses 6 and 7, we read this. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest." So just a very direct, clear, it's going to be a type of currency. Wine and oils were used at weddings and that sort of stuff. So it's basically just pointing towards famine, scarcity, and that is third seal.
Okay. Any questions? All right, thank you very much. Please be seated. Let's go to our next one. Number 4 is Carson's group, so please present.
Okay, we have the fourth seal. So in Revelation 7 through 8, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So the fourth living creature being the eagle. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And the power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by beasts of the earth. So the fourth horse being the pale green horse, and the rider is Death. Hades, meaning the grave, followed them. It's saying like a quarter of the earth will be killed by death by sword, hunger, famine, and beasts, which we see back in Ezekiel 14:21.
And Ezekiel 14:21 says, "For thus says the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and famine and wild beast and pestilence, to cut off man from beast from it."
And again in Ezekiel 5:17.
And Ezekiel 5:17 says, "So I will send against you famine and wild beast, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken."
All right, and also a little bit more about the pale horse. This is quoted from Barclay, page 10, in the Revelation book. For pale, it's translated as chloros, which means pale in the sense used of a face ashen with terror. So not only like the color, but like, I guess, the emotion of the horse.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. See? Number 5, Michaela's group, whoever's doing your presentation on that. Yes. Okay, Raymond, go ahead.
Mine is the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs, and it's Revelation, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 9. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of the fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were was completed." The fifth seal, under the altars, if you think about that, that means like it's a place of close, secure, safe, loving, precious location. If you go to Psalms 116, verse 15, it says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So every person that has followed God, that is called, is very precious to him when they die. It's like he preserves them. He takes note of them. And when the Christians are crying out, even though they're dead symbolically, it's like they're crying out in unity. And they're unified and crying out to God. And God notices that. And in verse 10, the words are, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood?" Well, God avenges. He has a time frame. In Matthew 24, verse 9, there is the following. It is, "Then they shall deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." Well, that happened in the first century and happened through the Middle Ages, and it will happen again, and we should prepare ourselves for such a situation. The white robe of these saints is a clothing of righteousness that will be of their attire for now, forever, and ever. It is something beautiful and brilliant. Daniel 12, verses 2 to 3. This is telling about the saints. I will not quote it in full totality, but the main points are here. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, like the stars forever and ever." Those who are wise are those that are following God. And that is the totality, basically, of the fifth seal from beginning to end, that God has not forgotten those that have died in the faith, that they will be resurrected and live forever.
Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. Still have 10 minutes to go.
I liked all five presentations. I think all five presentations hit on the general meaning. Here's what I would have liked, okay? I didn't give anybody an A+. I did give the first two A's. I gave the second two B-minuses. I gave the third one A again. So I'll tell you why. Why didn't you just say, how can we understand these scriptures? Who is the revelator? Jesus Christ. Where can we look? Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is Jesus Christ's version, explanation to his disciples in pretty clear fashion what's going to happen in the end time. And several of you referred to them. Some of you did not. I think 3 and 4 did not refer to Matthew. There's the revelator. Jesus Christ is the revelator, right? He's the one who tells you what he's talking about. It, clearly there, or here's in vision. So you want to go through and you understand what it is. So strength of number one, Raymond went right to Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. I liked what he did. He compared Revelation 19:11 to it. This is not, see, a lot of people say, there is white horse. He has one crown. He goes out to conquer. And we know that Jesus Christ does not return until when? The seventh seal, and the seventh trumpet of the seventh seal. So to say he's there first seal is confusing. He goes out to conquer, okay? Christ does not conquer. Christ is coming back to put down the nations, but he's not going out to try to gather to himself property or whatever items. And I like the Matthew 24. It's deception. It's religious deception, which is going on here. False teaching and so on, like the scriptures all given that you, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, Matthew 24, all very good. The only thing I would have liked to have seen is say, here's how we explain it. I don't want to go to my own understanding. I want to go to God's understanding. Who's the revelator? Jesus Christ. Does he say anywhere else about what's going to happen in the end time? How do I know it's the end time? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he was projected forward into the events that are going to happen and surround the day of the Lord. That's what you're looking at. So these seals begin to open, and as each seal is open, it continues to stay open. It was another thing I think, I believe Chris brought that out. This stays open. This remains open. I think Raymond did too. The second presenter, Chris, did a good job of going through it, and you did come back and talk about it. I don't know if you mentioned Matthew 24:6 or not. Yeah, so I had put it in quotes for me, but you had a lot of other scriptures in there to back and support it. That again, the first one, the first seal, what does it picture? It pictures there's going to be false religion. The second one pictures wars, Matthew 24:6. When there is no peace on the earth, what do you have? The absence of peace equals difficulties, trouble, or war. And that they take peace from the earth. The third one, the third seal, was brought out nicely by the third group. Let's see, it was Roger and Chelsea's group. Famine is being spoken of here. And that was good. You show that they're measuring. They measure the wheat. Oh, give me this. Don't give me a false measure. They're measuring for a penny. And again, talking about a penny or a denarius, as mentioned in the New King James, is one day's worth of work for just a little quart of wheat. How many loaves of bread could you make from a quart of wheat? I don't know, but probably not a huge number. So they're having, and bread was a staple of life back then. And then barley, you could get 3 measures of barley, because barley usually fed that to horses. But these people were eating barley, okay? So again, see that you heard not the oil and the wine. Please don't take down everything. So what do we see here is famine. What happens when you have famine? People are malnourished. What happens when people are malnourished? Seal number four, pestilence, disease, sickness, death. So seal number four pictures pestilence, Matthew 24:7-8. So under seal four, it would have been good to refer to Matthew 24:7-8. Jesus Christ, again, is the revelator. You see this pale horse, not enough food, people languishing. Leviticus 26:22 brings out some of that. Deadly diseases to increase. Animals of the earth, beasts of the earth are going to be turning on people. Rabid animals and whatever animal spawned diseases spread over the earth. So death and hell, he says, pale horse. I like the Chronos. I like the scripture that or the reference in Barclay that you brought out. That was good. Power was given them to take one fourth of the people of the earth. He's going to kill with a sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. That's pretty stunning, isn't it? Astounding. So deadly diseases will increase in that one. And that, again, I'd have Matthew 24:7-8. And then the fifth seal, Revelation 6:9-11. I thought you did a good job of explaining it. I would have, you had Dan for the time you had to do it. I would have explained a little bit more just to help you understand. He's not talking about about people coming up and being alive and being given robes and being put in heaven. But he's talking about in vision. He sees these people who are killed and their death, they're crying out and saying, how long, God, are you going to wait to deal with those who've done this to us? How long will it be before you avenge? You can have Genesis 4:10 as a good scripture to put in there where it talks about the blood of your brother cries out. Now, Did Abel's blood cry? Does it speak? No, it didn't. But using that type of an expression says, what you did to these people is crying out. And of course, they said these white robes were given to them, which is a symbol of purity. We know that it's not an immortal soul because Ezekiel 18:4 says the soul that sins will die. And we know that psuche in the New Testament, Revelation 16:3, the word for soul in the New Testament is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E. And in Revelation 16:3, it says, the second angel poured out his vial, not paralleling the event, but listen carefully, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul, same word, every living soul died in the sea, psuche. So souls can die. So the point I'm showing is souls die. So he's not saying people are going to go to heaven or they have an immortal soul. The robes were given to them saying they were righteous. they were righteous. And it was said they should rest a little season. It's not time for me to resurrect you. Where do people rest in death? Jesus Christ said about Lazarus, he sleeps, John chapter 11. So, great earthquake. And so then you see that the rest of the dead should rest for a little season till their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And you rightly pointed to Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. There will be persecution. And what does it have on the church? There will be persecution and there will be death. And we don't know how many are going to be martyred. We don't know what groups will be martyred. We don't know if it's going to be Philadelphian. We don't know if it's going to be people who are Laodicean attitudes. We don't know. But we do know that God says there will be trouble for God's church, trouble for those who keep the law, trouble for those who obey God, trouble for those who have allegiance to following their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, good job on it. Three A's, two B minuses, not bad. B minuses because I think you should have brought in the parallel and shown that Jesus Christ was the revelator. All right, good job. Thank you. And let's ask God's blessing on the lunch today so we can get going. I don't get a chance to finish up Revelation 6. I'll do it next time.